Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Well, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. Oh, God. It was terrible, guys. It was awful to watch. 27-7 was the final score. And then, you know, it just, it caught, I think it just took my breath away. I mean, I think obviously it surprised a lot of different people, and we're going to talk about it on a couple different, angles. We're not going to do the normal, you know, kind of all 22 notebook. Look, I watched the all 22 tape, and it really didn't tell me anything that I couldn't have gleaned from the broadcast tape. We'll talk about a couple people individually. But really, I just kind of wanted to have a conversation about, you know, what went on, like what was going on with the game. So we'll get right into that, and we'll have a conversation about, you know, what happened. And you know, like I said, a lot more kind of, you know, 10,000 foot view of the game and less of the, you know, kind of specifics in the all 22. Because I think really what's complicated here is not, you know, the intricacies of the breakdowns, is really the larger picture of how the pieces kind of fell together and how complementary football unfortunately can cut both ways. So let's get right into that, shall we?
180! 180! Kill, kill, kill!
So what happened? You know, what? Why weren't they able to make early adjustments and big adjustments to try and save Chaz Green and try and save Dak Prescott? And why weren't they able to overcome the losses the way that they were? I think that really, you know, in order to kind of have this conversation, we need to kind of have a we need to kind of try to get into the headspace of the coaches at different points throughout the week. Because I think that this, you know, if you want to ask a complicated question, we're going to have to look for a complicated answer. And I think if you go to the beginning of the week, when game planning for this game actually probably started, you know, what were your concerns going in? Well, you know that you're not going to have Zeke Elliott. That's your first concern. So immediately you're making adjustments based on that. Now, you know that Tyron is injured. You know that he has a groin. You know that he you're probably, especially early in the week, you're not 100% about where he when he's gonna play. You feel pretty decent, I think, even early in the week about Dez Bryant playing. So you game plan probably assuming that Dez is gonna play and that Tyron is probably about 50-50 to play. So keeping that in mind, when you think about the bad 50 of that as a head coach, you go, okay, what if Chaz Green's got to start? Then the next thought that is going to pop into your brain is, well, what have we seen from Chaz Green so far? And if you look at and look, we don't have I don't have the memory of, you know, the extensive hours of viewing Chaz Green that the coaches do, right? That Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan and Frank Pollock have watching Chaz Green play. But of what we have seen, of what we have on record, of what is, you know, two regular season games, some preseason games, and then I personally have been able to see, you know, a whole bunch of practices with Chaz Green playing tackle. I think that they felt pretty good about where the position was going to be on Sunday. I think that Chaz Green hadn't really showed them anything that didn't make them think that he couldn't handle the job. And so I think thinking that, you know, saying, okay, well, we feel like Chaz can, you know, has shown us in the past that, that, you know, he can handle the position. We need to focus on how we're going to deal with this offense running without Zeke. And so suddenly you're now, you're game planning for maybe more passing. You know, what are we going to – okay, so your thought process as a coach has gotten to now, what are we going to do without Zeke? How is this offense going to how are we going to recombine the play calling that we have, the playbook, the assortment of plays? Because they're not – that's the other thing that we need to be clear about. They're not drawing up new plays now. They're just using what they have and then and just kind of rearranging the amount of how they the mixture of these plays to kind of better fit their success, right? Because they may not be having as much success on zone blocking scheme runs as they are in power runs, and that's kind of all part of the feed into the ultimate problems that happen on Sundays. That they realized Chaz Green was a disaster in the game as they were also trying to, be in the act of realizing what is going to work with this new offense now that we don't have Zeke and Smith. So, they were trying to learn how their lessons about the offense early on overall, when they've learned pretty quickly that Chaz Green was not going to be able to hold up against Adrian Claiborne or any defensive end that they put out there, I guess. And so, I think what I'm getting at is that by the time they learned that it was something that they had to make adjustments for, they couldn't make adjustments. I mean, any adjustments that could be made needed to be made midweek. And so that if they weren't able to recognize Chaz Green was going to be a problem, they weren't able to fix it when they had the time to fix it. Look, I think there's going to be a large portion of people that are going to blame the coaches for not recognizing that Chaz Green wasn't the player that I guess the team assumed they were. But I really do challenge you to go back and watch those last two games last season when he played and times when he's played at tackle. He's looked pretty good. He certainly hasn't looked anything like the guy that we saw on Sunday. I think that's really the more important point, is that no one, I think, is saying that Chaz Green was great. I thought that Chaz Green playing tackle at times last year was good. I mean, especially considering with the tackle play in the league now, the guy I saw last year was a pretty decent swing tackle for sure. And what we saw on Sunday was definitely nowhere in the same league as of what we saw last year. So I don't know what happened to him that game. I mean, I do know that he was his issue specifically was getting his hands closer together, and basically Claiborne was chopping them every single time he was coming off the line. So I think that this is not a situation that is likely to be that is likely to happen again, because I think the Cowboys at this point the know what they've got, or at least probably can't trust Green to operate, in five-man protections the way that they would before. But I mean, let's talk about like that formula, that the complicated formula that they had to kind of come up with in order to win the game. I mean, they were asking the offense to A, compensate for the loss of Tyron Smith, not just as a pass blocker, but as a run blocker too. And I think that's the other part of what we saw, is that without Tyron Smith, Jonathan Cooper reverted back to being what we thought Jonathan Cooper was. He couldn't get to the second level because he couldn't secure the double team on his own. And when he did secure the double team, he would get up there and he couldn't get a hand on the target legally without trying to grab the guy. So I think, Tyron Smith covers a lot of Jonathan Cooper's problem. And when Tyron Smith's not there, it becomes a left side of the offensive line problem, not just a left tackle problem. But let's just, compensate for the loss of 77, compensate for the loss of 21 and what he provides to your offense. So you need to change the mixture of your offense to compensate for the fact that you don't have the elite running back anymore. It reproduces yards in a different way and points. Also, you got to keep in mind that field goals are risky, so you can't do that because you don't have your kicker, and the kicker you do have hasn't been kicking great. And then also, plus, you must compensate for your weakened defense, because your best defensive player, by the way, just tore his hamstring, and now your defense is probably going to give up a whole bunch of points. So no more pressure, but you also got to be able to keep them off the field so they don't score a whole bunch of points. So I mean, that's just an insane list of wants from your offense. And I think that, you know, it became, you know, a house of cards where finally it was you removed one too many, and it fell apart upon itself. They could not make the adjustments that they needed to mid game to protect the quarterback the way they wanted to, because they didn't have what they needed installed in the game plan, because they didn't think that they would need it as badly as they did, and they didn't have the ability to move the ball with regularity, because they couldn't find any rhythm. And when they finally did find rhythm, it would inevitably just be ended as they got closer and closer to the end zone by another sack or another ridiculous penalty. I mean, that's the other thing about this, is that I'm not even going to get into the refereeing, because I'm just so done with this. I'm so done with the NFL and their pettiness and all this. I mean, this whole 26 quarters without an offensive lineman being called for a holding penalty in the NFL. Like, I mean, like, that's ridiculous. I mean, how is that even possible? Like, it's just, so let's not even get into that. But I mean, just know that it is also another ridiculous element into this. And I think that it was too much for the Cowboys to overcome, and it made it look ugly, because at that point, the complimentary football that you know, helps the Cowboys usually win their games, it started getting used against them, because the offense could normally sustain drives, except for with a few exceptions, which still ended up without points. They were not keeping the defense off the field, and the defense was getting exhausted. It wasn't helping. They were already beat up, and now they've got a middle linebacker who didn't take enough practice snaps probably throughout the week, and a Will linebacker who took all the Mike snaps throughout the week, so he probably didn't get enough snaps at Will either. So it just became a big mess. And you know, like I said, the problem is, again, with players like 77 and 50 specifically, is that you didn't anticipate until the game happened that you were going to not only lose those players, but the collateral benefits that those players provide to the players around them. And suddenly you got, you knew that Smith wasn't going to be there, but you thought that Green was going to be enough, that it wasn't going to kill you having no Smith. And clearly it did. So that ended up being an insurmountable lead, an insurmountable mountain of odds against you, which became tough. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll discuss a little bit more stuff on the defensive side of the ball. All right. On the defensive side of the ball, I mean, we talked about it, but I think one of the things that made the whole situation with Sean Lee bad as well is that, you know, obviously they didn't know that Lee was going to get hurt. So it turns out that Justin Durant was a healthy scratch for this game. And I think that it would have helped, and I think it will help going forward, that Durant is there, and that gives you a guy who can come in and give you veteran snaps, who's an instinctual guy, who can also kind of alleviate the snaps. Because you still don't want to expose Jalen Smith to all these extra snaps. He clearly is not, you know, ready for that yet. He plays so much better when he's able to play 20, 25, no more than 30 snaps. And I think that, again, he's not Sean Lee, and I don't think anyone should suggest that he is, but I think that he can at least help bridge that gap to a certain degree, to help you make up for the loss a little bit better. Because, again, a guy who can run to the football, a guy who's instinctual, a guy who is a film junkie, he can do those things. And I think, you know, along those lines too, I feel better about Durant being back, just because I think it gives you another instinctual, healthy linebacker. But I also think that having a Woozy back may allow them to do things against the Eagles, like play more Deacon defense and play more big nickel, which should allow them help counter, some of the things that the Eagles do anyways. I don't know if having Durant or Woozy would have been the difference this last week. But I do know that, like, having Zeke gone is a is a huge loss to their offense. They spent the whole week focusing basically on that. It's not that they didn't focus on replacing Smith. It's just that they thought that they had a reliable replacement who wasn't going to kill them. They didn't think. I don't think they assumed that Smith, that Green would be, you know, Smith level elite. But I think that they assumed that Green would play at least closer to what he's played, you know, in the last few times we've seen him play, which was a, you know, an average at least offensive lineman, offensive tackle. And I think that once they realized that they were getting much less than that, the left side was ruined. And then on top of that, your defensive leader, the guy that runs your defense, is scratched, and you're short at linebacker already. You know, it's just a lot of things working against you. And I think that ultimately is what you saw pan out. In the end, it wasn't just a couple of guys who weren't playing well. It was a lot of players who weren't playing well. You know, and we talked about the left side of the offensive line, but I think Lael Collins may have had his worst game of the season as well. I saw Zach Martin get beat a couple times. I mean, I just think that it was an ugly game, you know, all around, and I think it is one of those situations where it snowballed on them. They have a tough opponent this week, and I have, you know, no qualms about saying that it's going to be a really difficult game for them to win. But I also don't think that we're going to get the same kind of performance that we did in Atlanta because, A, I think we'll have some of the players back we didn't have last week. And, B, I also think that they are better prepared to know what their offense looks like going into this game than they did before. I mean, never mind how Green looked. They weren't sure how this offense was going to look with the running backs that they had. So I think now they have a little bit better idea of at least what to expect and maybe what's working a little better. And maybe, you know, they'll make the adjustments that are needed to kind of get this offense rolling post-Zeke. One last positive note before we go because, you know, look, I don't want to be all dour and ugly, but Lewis Neal showed us some good snaps pass rushing. Came in and gave us some good snaps in the fourth quarter. He definitely showed us some issues in the run game. You know, I saw him at times with his head down being pushed out of his run fit. You know, he's going to need to work on that. I mean, he's going to have problems when he's facing double teams just because he's so undersized, but I also definitely saw the penetration. I saw him getting into the backfield. He can do that kind of thing, and he's going to need to find another angle, another dimension to his game to kind of allow him to be useful enough to keep on the roster week to week. But I did want to point him out because he was a bright spot. You know, there were a couple other bright spots in the game. I mean, I think Xavier Woods had a good game. Jordan Lewis, for the most part, had a pretty decent game at different points, you know, challenging Julio Jones, which was impressive. I think it's time for Julio Jones. He'd be great if he wanted to play corner, but I think it's time for Jordan Lewis to maybe start taking some of Anthony Brown's snaps and base. We're going to get a Woozy back this week, so that'll also be part of this rotation. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out as well. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of great stuff to come out of this game. It was an ugly game, and then, you know, obviously watching Cowboys Nation kind of tear themselves apart one day, you know, trying to blame the same people for the same reasons, for the same stuff that they blame every single time the Cowboys lose a game. Just a side note, guys, if every single time the Cowboys lose a game, no matter how they lose the game, you blame the same people, like if every time the Cowboys lose, no matter how they lose, whether it's by 10 points, whether it's by 4 points, whether they scored 50 points, whether they scored 6 points, if you blame the same person, if you blame Jason Garrett every single time the Cowboys lose, if you blame Tony Romo or Dak Prescott or Byron Jones every single time the Cowboys lose, no matter who they play, you might have an agenda. You might just be more concerned about being right about this particular person being bad for the team than about what's actually going on. So maybe keep that in mind. Guys, we're going to talk about the Eagles a little bit later this week. Like I said, it's going to be an uphill battle, but it's also not an impossible win. We could do this. We still have a team that is resilient enough, talented enough to beat these guys. I know that seems impossible, but believe me when I say the crazier things have happened and they've happened in this season. So make sure you follow me on Twitter, at McCoolBTB. Make sure you guys check out FanRag Sports throughout the week on all kinds of football and all kinds of NFL and non-NFL football. And until then, happy trails, everybody.